Loving Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please sit down. I wonder what you've seen this year. I don't mean did you catch the World Cup final on telly, and I'm not asking some difficult question about what you've seen in some existential or metaphysical sense, you know. I'm telling you, I've seen this, I've seen that. Just whether you've seen any sight that stayed with you. Sometimes things do, don't they? In summer, not this year, last year, Lizzie and I went to the island of Iona for a holiday. I think it's my favourite spot in the whole world, so I definitely do not recommend it to you. It's not worth visiting. Don't go there and spoil it for those of us that... No, please do visit it. It's a lovely place. While we were there, we took a boat trip from Iona to a tiny little island called Staffa. If you know Mendelssohn's piece of music, Fingal's Cave, it was inspired by a cave in Staffa. Staffa is built of the same, was made of the same rock that the Giant's Causeway is made of, those great big basalt columns. It's an amazing place. And while we were on our way there, our boat had an honour guard of dolphins. Dolphins really do leap through the bow wave of a boat. It's the most amazing and wonderful thing. What a sight that was. Graceful as anything, just beautiful. If you'd asked me last Christmas, I think I would have said that was what I had seen that year. That was the thing that stuck with me. So again, I wonder, what have you seen this year? I wonder what you could talk about afterwards. Was it something that made your heart sing? Something that made you glad to be alive in that moment? Something that made you know life was worth living? Or maybe something that took you to a dark place? That can happen too. I ask because what we witness, what we can tell of from our own experiences, is important. It's true that we can, particularly in this modern age, experience near enough all manner of things without being there ourselves. That's the nature of modern communication. But even so, we know there is no substitute for being there, for seeing and, of course, hearing and touching for ourselves. An eyewitness is therefore a powerful being, one who genuinely reports what they saw and what they heard and what they touched, wields the power to change our minds, to alter what we think we know by the force of their lived experience. The power of an eyewitness is not a modern phenomenon, of course. Historians in every age have asked, who was there? What did they have to say? What did they see and what did they hear? These who were there, who were eyewitnesses, historians know, have always known, the ones to whom we should pay attention. And so tonight I tell you of the Apostle John, who knew Jesus Christ, who lived with him, who travelled with him, worked with him, who was there when Jesus turned water into wine, when he healed the sick and fed the hungry, who was with Jesus when he was tired and angry and tearful, who heard him speak as no one had ever spoken before. John the Apostle, who was there with Jesus on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah when the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son whom I love, listen to him." John, who dined with Jesus on his last night of freedom, who was there when Jesus was betrayed and arrested, who stood with Mary at the foot of the cross as Jesus died. John, who saw the empty tomb. John, who cowered with the other disciples in the locked room until the risen one entered in. And John, who heard for himself Jesus say, "Do not be afraid, my peace I give you." John, who was there on yet another mountaintop as Jesus ascended into heaven, and who heard him say, "I will be with you always." I tell you of that John, who in his gospel rightly tells us that he was and is an eyewitness who, speaking for himself, And the others who were there can say of Jesus Christ, we have seen. That's what he tells us. We have seen. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John knew, I think, that the world was a place of darkness. He had seen that too with his own eyes. He'd seen the murder of Jesus, of course, but we know too of the society in which he lived, a society in which the strong waged wars and enslaved those they conquered, a society in which there were haves and have-nots, a society in which some were deemed unworthy, unclean, outsiders, a society not so very different from our own. Speaking into his society, and so speaking also into ours, this eyewitness says that Jesus was like a light shining in the darkness, revealing those things thought to be hidden, those things which some would prefer to be hidden, shining a spotlight on injustice so that there was no dark corner in which it could hide, shining a light on what is truthful and good and full of grace. John tells us that Jesus, the light, gives light to all in the world, that any who choose to receive him, that means anyone who believes in him as Saviour, to all those billions who have chosen to receive him and may yet choose to do so, perhaps this very night, to them he gives the right, what a modern word that is in an ancient context, to them he gives the right to become children of God. In your life, you accept the testimony of eyewitnesses. I know you do, because you are human, so am I. You will have an internal checklist. Were they really there? Are they trying to tell me the truth? Is there anything in it for them that would make them lie? Can we rely on them? On any criterion you can think of, the Apostle John was as good an eyewitness as you could hope to meet. You meet him in our reading. You meet him in the rest of his gospel. You meet him throughout the New Testament, and he tells you, as he has told countless generations before, that this one, this Jesus, was full of grace and truth. Light in darkness, grace in a world of grasping ambition, truth where all around is lies and deceit. Come to see Jesus, as the eyewitness invites you to. Come to Jesus as he invites you to. Come to the manger, yes, in wonder at this birth. But come to the man the baby became. For he is the one, if you will receive him, who alone can give you the right to become a child of God. Amen.